The night was passing quietly. Electra was pulling an all-nighter at the hospital so she could have time to spend with her mom when she arrived. That was okay by me. Not so much that her mom was coming, but that I had a little time by myself. Well, at least as by myself as I could be, with a computer wired to my brain and an intelligent gun always by my side. The good news was, both Harv and Gus were surprisingly perceptive and sensed I needed to be left alone. They left me in peace as I sat on my couch, eating a Super Zap HV dinner while watching the Major League Baseball All-Stars play an exhibition game against a team from Mars Colony. I turned the commentary off. The announcers never bring anything to the game anyway. The team from Mars didn't have a chance, but they were refusing to give up, despite the fact they were losing 11-1 in the third inning.
That team from Mars is almost as stubborn as you are.
Yep. What the? I quickly spun toward the unexpected voice. There she was, Natasha, sitting next to me on the couch, intently watching the game.
Baseball is such a funny game.
I went to activate Gus. Harv, are you with me? I reached for the old-fashioned revolver I keep under the couch cushion. I pulled the revolver out and pointed it at Natasha. Freeze! She just smiled at me.
I froze the game for you, if that's what you mean.
Looking out of the corner of my eye, I saw the game had stopped in place. I wasn't sure if she'd just frozen the picture or the actual game.
I froze the actual game.
So what about the people who are watching the game?
They're frozen too.
I didn't know if she was lying or not, but I suspected she wasn't. I waved my gun, making sure she was aware of it. I don't want to hurt you. She playfully curled her hair around a finger and grinned at me. I fought the urge to grin back at her.
Don't worry, I'm not worried about that. I told you not to come for me.
I haven't come for you yet. So far, you've been coming to me.
You know what I mean. I told you not to accept their offer.
I don't respond well to being told what to do. You'd think you'd understand that, being an advanced being and all.
Zach, I'm not an advanced being, just an ultra-powerful one. So that's part of the problem. Besides, I'm only 6 years old.
You've aged well.
Thanks. I do like you, Zach. I really do. You've saved the world on a number of occasions.
Yeah, I'm familiar with my resume.
That's why I am asking you very nicely not to come for me. Believe me, no good can come of that.
Now why should I believe you, Dollface?
Because I don't mean you any harm. If I did, you'd be a pile of dust by now.
Yeah, like I haven't heard that before.
If you come after me, though, I may lose my temper and then you'll be dead. I don't want that.
I aimed at her knee. I didn't want to kill her, but I planned to stop her. I pulled the trigger. The bullet froze in mid-flight. Natasha pulled the bullet out of the air. It melted in her hand. Then she showed me the piece of putty that had been an armor-piercing bullet. The putty then turned to dust. She blew the dust into my face. She touched me gently on the shoulder.
Zach, I know you're just trying to do what's best, but believe me, it's best if you leave me alone. I just want to be left alone.
You're too dangerous to be left alone.
I'm too dangerous not to be left alone.
It was interesting logic. She had a point. I didn't know why I was pushing this. My gut was telling me something was wrong. A storm was brewing, and Natasha was the eye of that storm. I wasn't thrilled with Earth Force. I knew their motives weren't totally altruistic, but I had to believe they wanted Natasha controlled for the good of all.
Zach, I know you think you are doing what's best, but you're not.
I've seen what you can do. You're just too dangerous to roam free.
I do generate a death field. I admit I'm not good at controlling it yet when I'm angry, but I'm working on it.
That's why I have to bring you in, so they can help you work on it.
That's why I can't let you.
When I came to, I was in my bed. I looked out the window that the sun was shining through. What time is it, Harv?
8:30 a.m.
How long was I out for?
The normal time, 7 hours. Why do you ask?
Natasha was here again. She put me out.
Well, that would explain it.
Explain what?
Why I have no recollection. Apparently, I was sleeping too.
Harv, you don't sleep.
Apparently, if Natasha wants me to, I do. Doss, I really need to add new firewalls to my defenses.
I rolled out of bed and stretched. Strangely, I felt better than I had in years. When you're the universe's punching and kicking and chopping bag, something always hurts somewhere. Not today, though. Sure, my knees creaked a bit and my shoulders were a little stiff, but I felt like I was 30 again. I looked at Harv. He was stretching too.
I've never actually slept before, so I'm not exactly sure what the proper protocol is for waking up. So yes, I am mimicking you.
I smiled.
I admit, it's not one of my prouder moments.
Have you accessed Earth Force's data on Natasha?
Yes, they've been very forthcoming and easy to deal with.
Well, that couldn't have been much fun for you.
I don't mind taking the easy way now and then. Oh my gates, I'm becoming you.
I headed to the bathroom, with Harv following me. You should be so lucky.
Well, not exactly like you, but farther from perfection and closer to you.
I went to the sink and splashed some water on my face. I looked up in the mirror. I swear I had 2 or 3 more gray hairs than I had the day before. The pepper with some salt looked good on me, though. At least that's what I was telling myself. I put a hand on my jaw. It seemed to protrude more than it did when I was younger. Perhaps one too many uppercuts. I thought I detected an extra dent or two on my nose. I was getting older. Of course, in my line of business, being able to get older is a good thing. I noticed that Harv was looking in the mirror with me.
At least I still look much more dignified than you.
I thought part of the benefits of Randy interfacing you with my brain was so you could become more human.
I believe Dr. Poole was calculating on my acquiring more intuition, not more bad habits.
I grabbed my laser toothbrush. I say tomato, you say tomato. I turned the toothbrush on.
I assure you, Zach, I do not say tomato. Do you think I was programmed by some hick?
It was time to steer this conversation back on the road to usefulness. So what do we know about Natasha?
1, she can kill people by simply being in a bad mood. 2, she can put me to sleep. 3, she looks a lot like Carol. 4, she makes surprise visits to you. 5, she has escaped and Earth Force wants her back.
Let me rephrase that. What new information have you learned about Natasha that might help us figure out where she's hiding?
Oh, why didn't you just say that, Zach?
I just did.
In that case...
Yes?
I haven't been able to learn anything else about her.
She's been around for 6 years, and Earth Force has no more data on her?
Either Earth Force never kept proper records because it was so hush-hush, or Natasha erased them. Carol even tried mind sweeps on some people. Nothing.
Either they're bad, or Natasha's very good.
The two don't have to be mutually exclusive.
I needed more to go on. Right now, this Natasha had everything on me, and I had very little on her. I didn't like the way the scales were balancing, or more accurately, were tipping toward her. They weren't tipping. They were slanting heavily in her direction. I've dealt with lots of dangerous dames before, more than most people do in 2 lifetimes. This woman was probably more dangerous than any of them. That's why, despite her warning and despite her power, I had to stop her. Or maybe I was meant to stop the government from using her. Whatever, I knew I had some role to play here. I just wasn't totally sure what it was yet. I wasn't about to let that stop me, though. Harv, you've got to give me more to go on.
I'm a computer, Zach, not a magician. I can't create data out of thin air. Well, I could, but the results would be less than reliable and therefore not up to your or my expectations.
In her 6 years on the base, I'm sure the government compiled gigabytes upon gigabytes of information on her.
I am sure they did too, but she must have erased most of it. Her 6 years?
Yeah. She told me she was born 6 years ago.
Interesting. The little information I do have says she was activated 5 years ago.
So? It's not like Earth Force record keeping isn't prone to errors, even when they aren't dealing with a super powerful being. An old-fashioned light bulb appeared over Harv's head. I take it you thought of something.
We now have a lead.
Great.
It's not a big lead, but who knows where this lead could lead us.
Get to the point, Harv.
6 years ago in July, my creator, the esteemed Dr. Randy Poole, took a vacation in New Vegas.
So?
According to official records, Randy stayed at the Flamingo Hotel.
I repeat, so?
Randy could never stay at the Flamingo. He's allergic to flamingos.
Really?
Not so much allergic as scared of them. They freak him out, even the plastic ones.
So the information was planted.
Very good, Zach. Take a secret decoding ring out of petty cash.
Huh?
Sorry, I kind of lost the momentum on that one.
It wasn't much of a lead. With luck, though, it would spark others. Looks like I need to have a chat with Randy.
I suggest you get out of your PJs first. Kind of kills the tough guy image.
After a quick shower, I put on my working gear and headed to Randy's lab. As Harv drove, I snacked on a Super Morning Energizer bar and tried to gather a bit more proof that Randy was involved in Natasha's creation. How do we know Randy wasn't involved with some other secret plan in Vegas? Or having a secret rendezvous with a woman? Harv crossed his arms and stared at me.
Randy? If he had a date with a woman, he would have told you. Dossack, he would have taken out ads bragging about it in More Variety and Really Popular Science.
Good point. But we can't rule out the first one.
Silly, Zack. While we can't prove it, I can strongly support it.
How?
Don't speak with your mouth full.
How?
How, please?
Just tell me.
3 days before Randy left, he stopped by the office.
So? Wait. Randy never comes to my office. He hates the throwback motif.
He says it hurts his brain and distracts him from his work.
How come I don't remember him coming?
It was right after the BB Star case. You were at lunch with Elektra, and he knew this.
Then why did he come?
He pulled out one of Carol's hairs.
He did what?
He told her he thought it was gray and he was doing her a favor. Then he apologized, blamed it on the poor lighting in your office, and left.
So he wanted some of Carol's DNA?
I guess he figured the hair pull was more subtle than swabbing the inside of her cheek.
Plus, Carol would have thought it was just Randy being Randy.
Exactly. 2 days later, Randy was in Vegas.
The car pulled up to Randy's lab. If this was true, Randy had a sly and devious side I was unaware of. That bothered me a bit. I'm a PI, so I make my living judging people, knowing their ins and outs and how they're likely to react in a given situation. Randy was one of my better friends, and I've learned to count on him and trust him over the years. He'd never let me down in the clutch. Had I been trusting him too much? I always knew on some level that Randy did use me as a human crash test dummy, but I figured the using went both ways. He got a test subject, and I got first dibs on all the newest gadgets. Now, Harv was telling me that Randy sneaked some of Carol's DNA just a few days before he made a mystery trip to New Vegas. Maybe Randy's motives were more complicated than I thought. Harv looked at me sitting there.
Zack, you have to get out of the car. I can't drive into the lab.
I swung open the door and got out of the car. Walking toward the lab, Harv appeared alongside me, transmitting from my wrist communicator.
You're wondering if you can trust Dr. Poole?
Yep.
Wow, Zack. I thought you'd deny it.
Nope. He stood in front of me, his arm outstretched in the stop position. I walked through him. He hates it when I do that.
Zack, trust me. Randy has always been there when you needed him. You're his friend.
I reached the door and went to enter the key code, but stopped and turned to Harv. I know that. But I can't help thinking that if it came down to advancing science or our friendship, he'd choose science.
Would you?
Would I what?
Zack, the secret to your success is that you are exceedingly persistent. Once you get on a case, nothing stops you from solving the case. Not threat of death or common sense or anything. You plow through all obstacles.
Your point being?
It's amazing you're still alive. Plus, if you had to turn in or take down Randy to solve the case, you would.
I'd only do it if I knew he was guilty.
So, if you needed to, you would sacrifice your friend for the greater good.
Yeah, if I knew he was guilty.
How does that make you any different from Randy? You're both totally committed to your work. I'm sure he's sure what he's doing will make the world a much better place.
How could creating a being that kills everything in her presence with a death aura ever be a good thing?
I'm sure in Randy's own way, he's convinced that this is a good thing. She would only kill really evil and nasty people. Or maybe she would help fix the overpopulation problem.
I turned back to the door. Doors were easier to deal with than Harv. The door popped open, and I walked in. Randy's lab is usually a whirlwind of action mixed with chaos and confusion. Randy insists the confusion is only because I'm a layman. Today, though, the place was calm and serene, almost sterile. A short little cylinder-shaped bot came rolling up to me.
Greetings, Mr. Johnson. Dr. Poole is in Lab 36D. Do you know where it is?
No, of course not. This place is different every time I come here.
Yes, Dr. Poole says complacency leads to nothing, but change leads to innovation.
If you say so, I'm just a human.
Follow me.
I could have told you where the lab is.
I just walked on. The little bot led me through the lab's main area, through a corridor or two that weren't here the last time I was here, then finally to a small side room. Randy was there, standing over a woman who lay on a device that was a cross between a lab table and a bed. The woman's abdomen was open, exposing her inner circuits, showing she was an android. Well, it's finally happened. You built yourself a girlfriend. Randy pulled his attention away from the android woman's abs.
Please, Zack, give me some credit. I'm not that desperate.
You're not?
Please, Zack, this is a rush order. I don't have time to banter back and forth with you about the existence or non-existence of my love life. Besides, does she look like someone or something I would date?
I looked her over. Dark skin, long auburn hair, big blue eyes, bigger breasts, the legs of a ballerina. Nah, she'd never date you.
Sure she would. I have a great sense of humor. Polls say that's what women really care about.
The android woman closed her abdominal opening, then sat up on the table.
No, I wouldn't.
But I have a lot of money, too.
The android stood up.
Greetings, Mr. Johnson. I'm Annabelle 12.
Nice to meet you, Anna.
No, it's Annabelle 12.
It stands for Android Ninja Assassin Bio-Enhanced Life.
Yeah, well, Annabelle is a much more quaint name. I'm almost afraid to ask, but what does the bio-enhanced mean?
It means I have a cloned human brain augmented with computer enhancements.
This stank of the World Council and Earth Force. If I hadn't seen Annabelle's exposed circuits, I would have taken her for a normal woman. That wasn't right. By law, androids were supposed to have skin tones that don't occur in nature, so humans can instantly tell that they're androids. You look very human.
Thank you.
More human than Randy.
Thanks. I do good work. Hey!
I thought androids weren't allowed to have human skin tones.
That rule doesn't apply to androids that have part bio brains. I'm technically a cyborg.
Says who?
Says the World Council and Earth Force, and they are the ones who make the rules.
I looked over at Randy. He just bobbed his head in agreement. What brings you to Randy's lab?
I could tell you, but then I'd have to squish your brain.
Then I withdraw my question.
You're smarter than our records indicate, Mr. Johnson.
You don't live as long as I have doing what I do, unless you have at least half a brain. Plus, I'm a lot harder to kill than most people, bots, droids, aliens, mutants, clones, and plants think. She turned to Randy.
Thank you for your work, Dr. Poole. Your account has been credited.
Then she turned back to me.
I sincerely hope we meet again.
Looking down, I saw the heels of Annabelle's boots were glowing. I pointed to them. Not to be an alarmist, but I think somebody gave you a hot foot. She smirked, lifted one arm up, and lifted off the floor. She shot up through a trap door in the ceiling that I hadn't noticed before. She was gone.
You forgot to yell up, up, and away.
She wasn't really flying. She has jetpacks in her boots.
Yeah, I figured that out. I turned my attention to Randy. Well?
Top secret stuff, Zach. I can't tell you.
He walked past me out into a corridor. I followed him. Can't or won't?
It's the same thing, Zach.
Dr. Poole was updating Annabelle's missile firing system. Each of her fingers can act as a guided missile.
I was a bit surprised that Harv ratted out his creator so easily. I guess Harv had the same doubts about Randy's motives that I did. Yo, Randy, slow down. What's your hurry?
Zach, I have lots of work to do today. I don't have time to sit around and talk about sports scores and old movies or give you advice about women.
He moved over to a lab table and picked up a ball on a paddle. When do I ever talk about any of those things with you?
3 months ago, you asked me if I had ever seen Casablanca, to which I replied, what version? Then you got all gruff and huffy and said, only the original counts.
That's true.
What? That I said it? Or that only the original counts?
Both.
Now, Zach, if you don't mind, I have a lot of important science to get done.
Randy, you're holding a ball on a string. He turned to me, his pale white skin now flushed with color. He showed me the ball, he showed me the paddle. He separated the two, showing they weren't connected.
See? Ball, paddle. No messy string.
He spread the two as far apart as his long gangly arms would reach, even standing on his tiptoes. Not sure why he thought that would help.
The ball and paddle are connected by a magnetic field.
I didn't know the string was posing a problem.
Zach. The old-fashioned ball on a string was tricky and frustrating. You wouldn't believe the number of mental breakdowns they caused. Now, this, my friend, is science.
If you say so.
Of course I say so. This is so easy to do, anybody can do it. It builds confidence and relieves tension. I'm going to be rich.
Randy, the Pi-Hi-Pod has already made you rich.
They are called P-Pods now. People don't have time for those extra three letters. Zach, one thing I learned about being rich is that you can never be too rich. The problem with being rich is you get used to having really good things. Therefore, you need even better things to stay happy.
Randy, you're in this lab 24/7.
Not so.
Okay, 22/7.
Can't argue with you there. Still, I like to be surrounded by nice things.
It was time to get this conversation back on track. What were you doing in Vegas 6 years ago? Randy tugged on his lab coat collar. I knew that was his tell.
I wasn't in Vegas 6 years ago.
I have proof, Randy.
I have a gambling problem. That's why I need to acquire so many credits.
Randy, you don't have a gambling problem.
I bet you you're wrong.
Randy, what were you doing in Vegas?
I think I had a date with some dancing girl. No, wait. Two dancing girls.
Come on, Randy. Everybody knows dancing girls scare you.
They don't scare me. I'm just cautious around them. I don't want them to care about me only for my money.
With charm and charisma like yours, who needs cash?
Exactly. Oh, You were being sarcastic.
Don't worry, Dr. Poole. I'm sure many women find you attractive.
Come on, Randy. Why were you in Vegas? He put both his hands in his lab coat pockets. Interestingly, he put his left hand in the right pocket and vice versa.
I can't remember.
Can't or won't?
Zach, why are you so interested in my past vacation plans? You've never taken this interest in me before.
Earth Force and the World Council just hired me to track down a superclone that escaped from Area 51B.
Natasha escaped?
Bingo. I'd hit pay dirt. I never told you the superclone's name.
Lucky guess. Das, this could be bad.
Could be?
If she gets angry.
Everything around her drops dead. Yeah, I'd call that bad.
I never thought she'd escape. Not that she couldn't, just that she wouldn't.
Come on, Randy, sing.
You don't really want me to sing, do you?
That's PI for talking, giving information, spilling your guts.
I could sing it.
Randy, what were you doing in Vegas?
The government invited me to come and help on the Natasha Project. I couldn't say no. For one thing, they fund a lot of my work. For another thing, it was a pretty cool project. Think of it, Zach. Building the perfect human.
Who's also a perfect killing machine?
You take the bad with the good. Nobody ever said science has to be without moral dilemmas. In fact, the better the science, the better the dilemma.
So that gives you an excuse to steal Carol's DNA?
Oh, you know about that.
Randy turned to Harv.
Harv?
I'm sorry, Dr. Poole. I added 010 and 010 and came up with 100. I felt what you did to Carol was wrong.
I didn't steal her DNA, per se. I just borrowed it.
Yeah, without her knowledge.
Listen, Zach, I had to do it for the good of science. Even way back then, I realized Carol has the potential to be one of the most powerful beings in creation. She just puts restraints on herself because she's been conditioned by her environment. Take that DNA, tweak it, and put it in the proper setting, and voila! You get a perfect super being. The technology has improved so much since the Thompson girls were created. It was for the good of the world, Zach.
How do you justify that?
Zach, that's what the government told me. I'm not like you. I'm not one to question authority.
Especially when it comes with a large budget.
Zach, that's unfair. I would have done this for a medium budget. It's for the greater good.
Then how come you didn't tell Carol that you needed her DNA?
I didn't want to worry her. It's too much pressure knowing your DNA is needed to make the perfect weapon. Besides, nobody likes being cloned.
So that's your story?
He does have a point there.
I was getting really tired of scientists trying to play God and turn a profit. Cloning people, except for famous stars, has been outlawed for decades and has always been morally ambiguous at best. Cloning people without their knowledge is worse. The fact that it was Carol compounded my frustration. The fact that it was Randy helped increase my frustration exponentially. The fact that Randy did this behind my back and didn't seem at all remorseful really pissed me off. I had to calm down. Randy had helped me on many, many occasions. The world may very well still be in one piece due to Randy's aiding me with his inventions. Randy just saw things differently than I do, or than most sane people would. He felt the end always justified the means as long as science was involved. He didn't mean any harm. That was the problem. He never stops and thinks of the cost of his actions. That was just how Randy was wired. I had to stay calm. I tried to stay composed. I failed. I pounded my fist down on a lab table. How could you do this to Carol?
Oh, Zach, I wish you hadn't done that.
Why? Because you finally see the error of your ways?
No, because you've activated my lab's defense systems.
I looked over my shoulder. Sure enough, a gun turret had dropped down from the ceiling.
Well, of course. You certainly can't expect Zach to go an entire morning without something trying to kill him.
I dove for cover under the lab table a split second before the robotic turret incinerated the floor exactly where I'd been standing. I popped Gus into my hand. Randy! Deactivate the system!
Can't do, Zach. The system has a failsafe that prevents it from being turned off until the attacker is stopped. And by stopped, I mean killed or maimed. I put it in so an assailant couldn't force me to turn off the system. Pretty good thinking. The system is foolproof.
Unless, of course, it mistakes a friend's actions. I looked up at the computerized gun turret. To my surprise, it was melting. What? Harv, who just broke in? Are we in trouble?
Not we.
Am I in trouble?
For one sec, it's not you.
Turning, I saw Carol, her hair on end, eyes practically glowing red. She was storming toward Randy.
I thought Carol deserved to know what Randy did to her.
She marched directly up to Randy and shoved a finger in his face.
You did what to me?
I carefully got back to my feet and walked over to Carol. I tapped her gently on the shoulder, trying to draw her attack away from Randy. I may have been angry with Randy, but I certainly didn't want Carol frying his brain. After all, as annoying and single-minded as Randy may be, he was still a friend. Carol, please, calm down.
He's not a pile of mush, is he?
No.
Then I am calm, Tio.
She never took her glare away from Randy. In fact, it seemed to get even stronger.
Talk fast.
I may have, cloned you, sort of.
Carol moved forward, practically pinning Randy to a wall.
Sort of?
I took your DNA, aged it, and improved on it.
You did what?
I was only helping the world by perfecting your...
She turned away from Randy and looked at me.
Can you believe how he justifies his actions?
Believe me, Chica, I've heard this story a lot. Randy, are you all right? I take that as a no. I gently spun Carol toward me. This doesn't help anything. Can I at least question him?
Knock yourself out.
I smiled. For once, I actually had a break. With Randy under Carol's control, he wouldn't be able to double-talk his way around my questions. For a moment, I felt guilty using Carol on a friend. Then I remembered what Randy had done, and that guilt quickly faded. So, Randy, Natasha is like Carol?
Like her, but different.
Like her, but different?
They have much of the same DNA, but I did not copy any of Carol's brainwaves to Natasha.
So their attitudes and preferences would be different?
Those that are conditioned by environment would be. Those that are more ingrained would still be similar. Of course, not identical, since environment would also modify those some. Those that are conditioned by environment would be. Those that are more ingrained would still be similar. Of course, not identical, since environment would also modify those some. The effects of environment as opposed to heredity on personality is like the chicken and egg argument. Of course, it's extra confusing with size, as Carol and Natasha should be able to sense each other's likes and dislikes.
I searched my mind for the right question. The question that would help guide Randy to an answer that would lead me to Natasha. I thought of Natasha's room, all the travel posters. They were the only things that stood out there. I figured that if I'd been stuck on a base all my life, I'd want to see something else. I saw posters in Natasha's room of Niagara Falls, Vegas, the Grand Canyon, Big Ben, the Eiffel Tower, and the pyramids. My guess is she's at one of these places.
That is logical.
Vegas is the closest one of those spots to Roswell.
I love those places, except Vegas. Too tacky.
Natasha may head there just to distinguish herself from you. Many clones react that way when they learn about their DNA twins.
I guess that makes sense.
Well, that may possibly narrow it down some. Of course, there are over 500 hotels in New Vegas she could be in. I could scan them all, but I doubt she's using her name. I could scan all the security cameras in Vegas, but that is illegal and probably fruitless, as I believe she can cloak herself from cameras.
Why do you think that, Harv?
Because I can if I want to.
Oh, okay. The more I learn about Carol, the more scared I become. So, my dear, where in Vegas wouldn't you be caught dead?
There are so many places.
Surely one stands out.
The Nova Hollywood Towers are the most tacky.
Any unusual activity there today, Harv?
None that I can tell. Hold on. 2,000 people have checked into there today.
So?
Like the Roach Motel, nobody has checked out.
We better get to New Vegas, then.
We? Carol headed out of the room. I followed after her.
I'm going with you.
This Natasha is very dangerous.
Exactly. You won't stand a chance without me.
Dr. Poole has made improvements to my software, allowing me to increase the electrical energy in Zack's brain. That will help me help Zack become even more resistant to psi control.
I know. Between that and me and Gus, we may be able to stop her.
She reached for the door activation button. I reached for her arm. I didn't like the idea at all of her going on this job. Sure, Carol had been in danger with me before. Dosh, just sitting next to me on a bus or at the movies can put a person in danger. This was different, though. This Natasha was the deadliest foe I'd ever faced. Sure, Carol was powerful, but not as powerful as Tua, and Natasha blew Tua out like a wet match. I couldn't have that happen to Carol. I spun her around toward me. We locked eyes.
Dio, you know it's the only way.
I don't like it.
Zack, I have to agree with Carol.
I still don't like it.
I don't like it either. but I don't see another way.
I agree.
Admit it, Tio. You know we're right.
The sad truth was, it was true. My best chance of stopping Natasha would be using Carol. Let's go get her.
I knew you'd see the light.
She took me by the hand and led me out the door.
I'll drive.
Leaving Randy's office, I instantly noticed that Carol's car wasn't her car. In fact, it wasn't a car at all. It was a hover. But not just any hover. It was black and white, shaped like an old 1957 Chevy with a siren on top. She pointed proudly at the hover.
You stole a police hover?
It's an old model.
You stole an old model police hover?
I didn't steal it. I asked Captain Ricky for it. Nicely.
You just asked?
I asked nicely.
You zapped his mind.
I asked extra special nicely. I suggest we leave it at that.
We reached the hover. Carol ran her hand along the hood. She has a thing for things that go fast. The thing is, I'm not a big fan of hovers. I firmly believe that if man was meant to fly, we'd have feathers, rubber bones, or better insurance coverage.
I know you're not a fan of flying, but I figured it's the fastest way to get to New Vegas.
I'm pretty sure Dr. Poole is working on his version of the portable transporter. I could see if we could borrow that.
Nice to meet you, Harv. I'm Zach.
You let Tua teleport you. Therefore, I concluded, well, hoped, that you no longer have a personal mandate against personal teleporting.
Teleporting with Tua is different.
Why? Because she has huge breasts that particularly need their own zip code?
No. It's because you can't just say no to Tua.
Well, technically, you can say no. She'd just put you in traction.
I turned away from Harv and focused on Carol. Her gaze apparently had never left me.
You know I'm right, Tio.
Let's do it.
Great! I'll drive.
There really wasn't much of a choice there. No way Carol was going to let anybody else fly for her. She had a real need for speed. She positioned herself behind the driver's seat. She was so excited, I was surprised she didn't float off the seat. I, on the other hand, reluctantly sat in the passenger seat. I strapped myself in and looked over at Carol.
You sure you know how to pilot one of these?
One of my ex-boyfriends was a cop.
Isn't he the one whose hover you melted?
Not on purpose.
And with that, we lifted off and headed to New Vegas. The trip went smooth as a trip can for me while riding in a hover. I'm a macho guy, that's true. Pepcac, I have more attempts in my life in a day than 99.99% of the population has in their lifetimes. Therefore, I'm not afraid to admit to my fears. My number one fear is heights. Well, not so much the heights, but the falling from heights. Actually, the falling isn't that bad. I have a strong heart. It's the sudden stops that are painful. Believe me, I experienced it once. I was lucky to survive the fall. Now, on those rare occasions I get into a hover, I feel like I'm just taunting death to take another crack at me. I may not be the brightest guy around, but I'm smart enough to know that one lady you don't want to taunt is death. Of course, going after Natasha was even more dangerous than flying in a hover. Gates, this was a woman who could wipe out an area just by being in a bad mood. In many ways, this woman was death. Yet somehow, Natasha didn't scare me nearly as much as heights. I'm not sure why. I guess I understood that Natasha had to be stopped. Carol must have noticed me in deep thought.
We're almost there, Tio.
Good.
So what's the plan?
Please, Carol, how can you possibly think Zach would have a plan? We are still 5 minutes from the Nova Hollywood Towers. That means Zach is still 5 minutes from coming up with anything that can remotely be called a plan.
Nova Hollywood Towers had to be the most tacky place in a town overdosing on tacky. On the bright side, it was one of the few buildings in Vegas not owned by a big corporation. On the not-so-bright side, it was owned by a series of aging ex-HV and rock stars, which made it almost as bad. In fact, if I didn't know that an Elvis clone was a part owner, the place would have no redeeming qualities at all. It'd just be a graveyard for rock star memorabilia that nobody else wanted, at least at the prices they were selling it for. Soon, the Nova Hollywood Towers came into view. It was hard to miss. It was shaped like a giant drum with a star on top of it. Carol zoomed in over the parking lot and started our descent. I looked away. I hate landings. I know if anything's gonna go wrong, chances are it'll be with a landing. The good thing about landings are once we settle on the ground, it's over. Okay, so I have mixed emotions about them. We pulled up.
What? Why are we going up? We have to go down to land.
Look down at the parking lot, Tio.
I did. I've seen cans of sardines that had more room after they'd been through a trash compactor. The parking lot below was a weird mosaic of cars and hovers all squeezed together. Some of them were parked on top of others. There was no obvious spot to land.
I've accessed security cameras for this area. There are no parking places in a 2K radius.
How can that be?
People keep checking in, but nobody checks out.
Apparently, Natasha really knows how to throw a party.
We can't be certain this is because of Natasha. Security cameras inside the hotel are blocked, so I can't prove it is her.
I just looked at Harv.
They do have an excellent buffet. I admit, chances are great that Natasha is behind this.
Thank you. Did you find a spot to land?
Going to make my own.
Carol maneuvered our police hover over a spot close to the Nova Hollywood's entrance. The entrance was already blocked by far more cars than it could hold.
I figure we'll get enough action when we meet Natasha. No need to do any extra walking.
She waved her right hand to the right. Half the cars blocking our way moved over to the right. She moved her left hand to the left. The other half of the cars scooted to the left. Not exactly parting the Red Sea, but impressive nonetheless. She lowered the hover to the ground. She made a little ta-da gesture. We were less than 2 meters from the casino's entrance.
What, you couldn't park in the lobby?
I could, but I didn't want to scratch the paint going through the doors. After all, this is borrowed.
I hopped out of the hover, Carol close behind. The big brass doors to the casino pushed open. 2 Elvis impersonators wearing red bellhop suits came bounding toward us. They both had guitars strapped to their backs, and that worried me.
I'm sorry, brother. This party's my invite only.
But we are invited.
Both of the impersonators removed the guitars from their backs and raised them over their heads. One of them rushed at me, the other at Carol. You know, I have the worst luck with Elvis impersonators. My Elvis attacked me with his guitar. Dodging to my right, I popped Gus into my hand. The guitar smashed on the ground, missing me.
Dang, that's gonna come out of my pay.
I clubbed him on the back of the head with Gus. Then I turned my attention to the Elvis attacking Carol. She had him levitating up in the air. She was spinning her finger around and around, causing him to spin around and around.
Just because Natasha is blocking me from controlling their minds doesn't mean I can't control their bodies.
Don't spin him around too much. Believe me, you don't want an Elvis to barf on you.
Good point.
Waving her hand forward, she sent her Elvis crashing into the casino just above the door. He crumpled to the floor. I headed toward the door. Apparently, Natasha didn't want us at her private party. I wasn't sure if I should be honored or offended. I did know one thing. It was time for this party to end. Walking into Nova Hollywood, I remembered why I didn't come here more often. I like a good slice of cheese as much as the next guy, but this place would be too cheesy for a giant mutant rat with a tapeworm. The reception area was lined with shiny gold carpeting that looked more radioactive than compelling. Each of the pillars holding up the ceiling was a giant golden guitar. Looking over the area, I was forced to squint to block out some of the light. Between the glowing floor and the shiny guitars, you actually needed sunglasses to see anything. I didn't have sunglasses, but I had something even better.
Harv, can you run a shade over my eyes to filter out some of this shine?
Done.
Immediately, things became dimmer and clearer, and scarier. I could see the reception area and clear through to the main casino floor. The place was littered with bodies, female bodies, seemingly struck down while they were waiting online. A couple of receptionists were slouched over their desks. Looking over the casino floor, it was the same thing. Cocktail waitresses, dealers, patrons were all spread out, either on the tables or on the floor, slumbering away next to the slot machines. It was at that moment that the slot machines noticed us. Yeah, I said noticed us. As if it wasn't easy enough to gamble in these places, somebody somewhere had the bright idea of making the slot machines mobile and semi-intelligent. Not content to simply sit there and wait for customers, today's modern slot machine is built to pursue potential clients around the casino, coaxing them to play. The machines aren't happy unless they're being used. Now, this may only be a minor annoyance when a casino is loaded to the rafters with plenty of eager customers, but now, with everybody else either sleeping or otherwise occupied, there were a few hundred machines with nobody to play with. They spotted us and quickly started heading toward us.
Pick me!
No, me!
Play me! I pay off a lot!
Can't lose that often with me!
Oh, me, me, me!
I have great
arms! I haven't paid out for a while, I'm due!
Aren't my flashing lights pretty?
Sorry, no time to play.
Always time to play!
This is New Vegas, baby!
Yeah, what happens here stays and stays.
Suddenly, the machines all lowered their frames and then rolled backward to the spots they were in before they noticed us.
I surmise the best course of action was for me to simply reprogram those simple machines to leave us alone.
Impressive.
It's not that impressive. I would hope Harv could control an army of simple machines.
I wasn't talking about the local machines. I was talking about what Natasha has done to all these people.
Oh, now that's more like scary. I bent down to take the pulse of a woman who'd fallen by the door. I felt a faint beat. This one isn't dead.
None of them are.
I concur. They're just comatose.
Very comatose. Their brains have all been turned off except for basic life support functions. They aren't even dreaming.
Now that the slot machines had been silenced, we heard music coming from across the casino floor. I take it if we follow that music, it'll lead us to Natasha.
I concur.
Me too.
Noticing that I was the only one moving forward, I stopped and turned to them. Are you two coming?
Zack, I'm a hologram. I don't need to walk someplace to be there.
Carol was silent. What's wrong, Chica?
There are more than 2,000 women on the floor here. Natasha put them all out easily, as an afterthought.
Yeah, she's tough, I get that. I've taken on powerful babes before. It's all par for the course when you're me.
This is different. I've never felt such power. It's like with less than a single thought, she could kill us all.
Over the last few years, I've been through a lot with Carol. We've both seen a lot, but I've never seen her this scared. If I was going to have any chance against Natasha, though, I was going to need Carol. Then we're just not going to give her time to think. Carol was shaking ever so slightly, her skin a bit redder than normal, and her hands were damp. We can stop her.
I've been studying the mental frequency Natasha broadcasts over. I believe I can block her out long enough for us to take her out.
Really?
Believe me, Carol, I like being vulnerable even less than you do. She may be powerful, but she has weaknesses.
We can take her out quickly before she even knows what hit her.
A weak smile crossed Carol's cheeks. She straightened her back.
Let's go get the bitch.
We walked through the casino area toward the music. As all the women in the building were lying comatose on the ground, it was clear to me that all the men had gotten up and left in a hurry. I was betting that the men had all joined Natasha in the nightclub area that was adjacent to the casino. On each side of the double doors leading to the nightclub were piles of more comatose women. They were all stacked up sort of neatly. More waitresses, dancers, and patrons. It appeared that Natasha had ordered them out of the dance area.
Interesting.
I've accessed the security tapes before the cameras went offline. The moment Natasha walked into the disco, all these women stopped whatever they were doing, put their arms in front of their bodies, and left like zombie sheep.
Apparently, Natasha wants to be alone with her men. Pushing the doors to the disco open, we enter the dimly lit club. It was crammed full of men, males from 18 to 118. Big guys, little guys, fat guys, skinny guys, all races, all nationalities. There were even some mutants and rock star clones. The place was so packed it was nearly impossible to move. Unlike their women, though, the men were anything but comatose. They were all dancing and making general fools of themselves. A floating platform above the dance floor contained a robotic band. Gazing through the crowd, I searched for Natasha. She wasn't hard to find, just had to follow the glance of every man in the room. They were all focused on her. She was dancing away, arms flailing to her heart's content. She seemed so happy, she didn't even appear to notice that we had come into the room.
Shall I alert the proper authorities?
Why? So they can join Natasha in her dance?
No, of course not. Oh, right. You were being sarcastic. I understand now. Sorry, shielding us from Natasha has drained me some. It requires huge amounts of both energy and computing power. She is very strong. There are 2,323 men in here, and they are all totally under her control.
Natasha was still so enthralled with her dancing, she wasn't paying any attention to us. That gave me a chance to take her out quickly and painlessly. I aimed.
Heavy stun, Gus.
Will do, Mr. Zack.
I pulled the trigger.
Gus?
Yes?
Nothing happened. Gus?
Isn't that Natasha cute? She is far too cute to shoot. Besides, you have no need to shoot her.
Why?
Because she plans to harm no one.
I turned back to Harv and Carol. Harv had disappeared. Carol had sunk back toward the door. She was now lying on the floor like all the other ladies who weren't Natasha. This was bad. I turned back toward Natasha. I didn't want to, I just had to. I popped Gus back on my sleeve.
I won't be needing him.
I started jiving my way toward Natasha. The other men in the place started parting to either side to let me through. Oh, this was so not good. Yet I so didn't care. As I cut a swath through the sea of men between me and Natasha, my brain was racing. How beautiful she was. How weird it was that I was thinking that.
No, it wasn't weird. It was just the truth.
Was. I've been through this type of manipulation before. You'd think I would have some sort of immunity by now.
Ah, but who would want to be immune to those eyes?
Harv was turned off, so I was alone with my thoughts and Natasha. This was bad. Only bad was good, right? Or was it?
Pepcak. I really hate it when the size aren't on my side. When I reached Natasha, she held out her long, slender hand to me. I wanted to take it. I didn't want to take it. But I took it.
Zack, how nice of you to join me.
Thank you. I'm here to stop you. If you don't mind.
There is no need to stop me, Zack. I am having fun.
Fun is good. I shook my hips in a way that was still manly, yet would have been embarrassing if I wasn't fighting Natasha's control. She had me under her mental foot, but not as tightly as the others. It may have had something to do with Harv and Carol protecting my brain. Or maybe I'd built up defenses after all these years of dealing with size. Or maybe she was just taking it easy on me. Natasha took my other hand. I dipped her. I don't know why, it just felt right.
What you're doing to these people is wrong.
She straightened her back and thrust her chest toward me.
I'm just letting off a little steam. None of them will remember anything except that they had a great time.
I still think it's wrong.
You have some control of your thoughts because I want you to.
I pulled her back up. She removed my fedora and placed it on her own head with one hand while ruffling my hair with the other.
It's no fun if everybody is a mindless slave. I need somebody to talk to. But if you keep questioning me...
I'm not sure if it was the removing of the fedora or the ruffling of my hair. I'm not sure if it was the cockiness of her thinking she had total control of the situation. Not sure if it was the not-so-veiled threat to turn me into her zombie. At that moment, something inside of me snapped. I had to put this lady down, and fast. Lunging forward, I did the only thing I could do.
Oh!
I slammed my forehead down on hers.
Oh.
She dropped to the ground, stunned. I was lucky that Randy and Earthforce at least had the foresight not to make Natasha nearly invulnerable like the Thompson girls. I tried that move on Tua once, and my ears were ringing for a week, after I came to. Acting fast, I drew the old-fashioned gun I'd been keeping tucked behind my back. It was a Colt Model 1908. Yeah, it was well over 100 years old. That meant no computer interface, which was a plus. I aimed at Natasha. This woman had proven that she was a danger to all and had to be stopped. Still, I couldn't shoot her. Just not my style. Moving forward, I raised the gun over my head. I might not have been able to kill her, but I could knock her out. Just to make sure she didn't try any mind tricks on me, I did what I always do when I need to stop a sigh from doing anything. I know that sighs hate humming. Well, who doesn't? Then I hit her on the head with the barrel of my gun. She went unconscious. That was easy. I'd never taken out a mega superhuman babe that easily. There was a tap on my shoulder, and then the music in the room stopped. I took both of those as bad signs. Yeah, this was more my type of luck. The unconscious Natasha faded away. Turning toward the tap, gun ready, there was Natasha, standing there holding her head.
After you headbutted me, I teleported behind you, but created the illusion that I was in front of you, just to see how you would react.
I take it the fact that we're all still alive means you approve.
Your actions weren't evil. You were doing what you could to protect the world you love. Yet you still couldn't kill me. You have morals.
Yeah. I may be beginning to regret those right now.
She touched me gently on the shoulder.
Zack, you give me hope. You give us all hope. That's why I would so hate for anything terminal to happen to you.
I waved my gun at her.
I have you in my sights.
The gun melted in my hand.
Ah! Hey! That was an antique gun, you know.
Zack, just be glad it was the gun and not you.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
You do?
You'd be surprised. Any chance you're just gonna surrender and come peacefully? She shook her head and disappeared. It became apparent that all the eyes in the room were now trained on me, and they were angry eyes. Yeah, this was definitely more what I was used to. Alone in a room with a little more than 2,000 angry dudes. Now those were bad odds, even for me. The good thing was, I wasn't really alone. I had Harv and Carol. They'd just been forced to the sideline. I needed to get them into the game. I also had Gus, hopefully.
Gus, are you ready?
A little dizzy, Mr. Zack, but I am functional.
I need a wide stun blast fast.
I pointed Gus at my nearest assailants, a strange potpourri of men of all ages, shapes, and sizes. The only thing they had in common appeared to be a hatred of me.
We made Natasha leave! We must hurt him a lot!
My initial salvo took out the five lead guys. They were just average Joes under Natasha's spell, so I didn't want to hurt them. Of course, the feeling was far from mutual. Ha! I felt a hand grab me from behind. Spinning around quickly, I broke my attacker's hold. He was a big guy dressed all in black, with two-day-old stubble on his face. Probably a bouncer. Meaning he was an experienced brawler. I felt another hand grab me from behind. Then another. Then another.
Oh, this is not good.
I felt myself being pulled backward fast. I crashed to the ground, and my armor once again took the brunt of the damage, but I was still in big trouble. I had more guys on me than I could count. Protecting my face with my armor would minimize the damage, but only for so long. If I was going to get out of this, I was going to need help, and fast. Of all the ways there might be to die, being pummeled by a mob of angry men was way down on my list of favorites. Suddenly, the pummeling stopped.
You can open up, Tio.
I spread my arms apart, slowly. No punches fell. I looked up at the guys. They were all standing there dumbfounded. I stood up.
I'm still weak. I can't hold this many people this long. I suggest we exit pronto.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I headed toward Carol quickly. As I moved, I tried to get Harv to reboot.
Harv, are you with me yet?
Harv appeared alongside of me, projecting from my wrist communicator.
I'm here. Sorry it took so long. I've been working on beefing up my defenses.
No problem. Harv, you know you just said beefing up.
Yes, I am aware of the changes in my speech patterns, and they don't alarm me. I chalk it up to being connected to you too long.
Harv, you just said chalk it up.
Please, Zach, I feel bad enough as it is. Being in denial only gets me so far.
Back in the hover, Carol was in the driver's seat again, but she put it on autopilot for the time being.
Where to now?
Did you pick up any of Natasha's thoughts or vibes?
I did look into her mind. I wanted to see how she thinks.
As the hover shot forward, Carol glanced off into space, seemingly looking at nothing in particular.
Her mind is very complicated, like mine. I saw a lot of images, like a mosaic collage with all the pieces scrambled.
So did you pick up anything?
I picked up everything. Yet I understood nothing. Why the dos did I just say that?
Too much time in Natasha's brain?
Too much time hanging around Zach.
So you picked up something?
So many images. I need something to help sift through them.
Concentrate on the places in the posters. Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, Big Ben, Eiffel Tower, the pyramids.
Carol closed her eyes and tipped her head back. Eventually, she slowly opened her left eye, then her right.
She's going to the Grand Canyon.
The Ultra Mega Hypermart Grand Canyon. They purchased the sponsorship rights. It's new because they have added an observation tower and a new virtual experience. They call it the fall of your life, then death.
Not really a whole lot of new in that. Still, new or not, it's where I have to go next.
Make it so.
I assume that is some reference from some ancient television show I should know, but I don't care enough to access my trivial database.
That's trivia.
No. No, it's not.
Just take us to the Grand Canyon.
No can do. Electra's mom has arrived, and Electra has very specifically stated she needs you home now.
Okay. Send JJ and Farrah to check it out.
Already done.
If she is there, make sure they do not engage her.
Already done. I don't know if they will listen, though.
Put me through to them. Harv's holographic form morphed into JJ's.
We're heading to the new Frisco Teleport Center now. Harv says you've already paid for our reservations.
Yep, first class.
Never traveled first class teleporter before.
Only the best when you work with me.
Huh. I guess you're not as big of an ass as I've heard.
Don't believe anything you hear. And only about 30% of what you see.
Farrah looked in over JJ's shoulder.
How about taste and smell? How much of those can I believe?
About 50-50. The important thing is you know what to do if you run into Natasha, right?
Yes, we understand.
Farrah nodded her head in the background. So what do you do?
Stop her.
No. The two of them just looked at me.
Come on, Zach. We can stop her.
Harv, play back for them what happened in Vegas.
JJ and Farrah watched the playback hologram.
Those guys are kicking your ass.
Only because Natasha made them. Harv, show them the replay of the casino.
I watched as they watched.
Are all those babes dead?
No, but they could have been. Natasha took a casino filled with 10,000 people, dropped half of them instantly, and turned the other half of them into her personal playthings.
Ferris stopped, her head bobbing.
No Psy is that powerful.
She is.
Wow.
So what do you do if you find her?
Stay low and call you.
Exactly.
We still get our share, though, right?
Of course.
Then we understand.
Their image morphed back into Harv piloting the hover. I pointed forward.
Home, Harv.
Home isn't really that way.
Just drive.